Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Less Glove, More Fist podcast with me, Coach Bronson.
And me, Coach Nat.
And today's episode is going to be about our intentions, what we're doing, what we're planning on doing, and what we're going to accomplish in 2023.
Ooh.
You see what I did there?
Yes, I see.
What you just witnessed was positive affirmation in language.
Putting it out in the universe.
Putting it in the universe.
So, claiming it as if it's already happened.
As if it's already there and happened. So last time we talked, or last episode, we talked a lot about where we were coming from, where we're at in maintaining, with it being New Year. It's 2 days before Christmas. I guess we should probably talk about, I think, maybe more the process of what we've done to get to what our intentions are. Like, we can definitely go into what we're planning on doing for the year and what we want to get done. Like, what is our nutrition goals and fitness goals and business goals and these things. But there's also some things that we've done to figure out what those things are going to be that I think people could learn from, as far as how do you set intention? What are the process of coming up? Like, we spent time in Florida doing mastermind for 3 or 4 days. Like, what are some of the things that we did to come up with what are our goals? Does that make sense?
I would love to share some of my favorite New Year's practices.
Yeah.
For exactly that, reviewing, reflecting on the year past, mm-hmm. and setting intentions and getting clear on what you want more of in your life. I'll speak for myself. What I want more of in my life, what I want less of in my life, what I want, where I want to improve, how I determine those things.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Let's start with...
I have a question for you to start
with. Oh, no. Okay. Shoot. I don't know what she's going to ask me.
Do you have New Year's resolutions, nope. Coach Bronson?
I don't. You knew I was going to say that.
I knew you would say that. We did not talk about this in advance, fam.
I hate when she springs questions on me that I don't know what she's... I'm like, I'm hoping this is the answer she's looking for.
But I knew how he would answer that question.
Yeah. No, I don't.
And why is that?
You
want
to know why? Because the path that I'm on is more than a year. The path that I'm on...
Pause. I want y'all to hear that. Say it again.
The path that I'm on is more than a year. I'm not trying to live my life a year at a time.
Woo! Wait, pause again. Y'all need to let this sink in. He said, I am not trying to live my life 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm trying to live my life one day at a time and build upon every day.
The gems. I mean, right. I'm seriously, like, these things, like, I'm pausing and gasping because it's giving me chills. It's like, this is life.
Yeah.
Like, what we talked about on our last episode, maintenance is life. And it's not even maintenance. We'll talk about that on this episode, how maintenance is really about constant becoming. I like to say that. Becoming. I don't like to say, like, the kitschy constant self-improvement, right?
Mm, yeah.
Because that elicits in my mind an image of, like, this striving and, like, I must be
struggle.
Better.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Stress.
It puts you in a good energy when you think about improving myself.
Well, because that puts pressure on you have to improve. And unfortunately, guys, fortunately, I should say, it feels unfortunate, but fortunately, you don't have to improve all of the time. And
at least you don't have to be focused on the trying to improve.
Right. There's a level of just enjoying where you're at. There's a level of understanding that you can't do everything. There's a level of understanding that you're going to fail at some things. And that's fine.
Every day is not going to be your best day.
Every day you can't set a PR at the gym every day. You can't be 100% all of the time. So take that pressure off yourself. Don't worry about that. It's okay. Live your life. And I love what you said about it's not maintenance, it's life. When you get to a point where you're living the life that you've envisioned for yourself, you can allow yourself to take your foot off the gas enough to enjoy the drive.
Ooh, I love
There's a difference between trying to fight traffic and going for a Sunday drive in the woods, right?
Oh my gosh, the energy of
the energy
two
is
days.
Two is very different. And that's the difference.
Branson will not be trying to beat the GPS in that situation.
Exactly, right? I'm not trying to beat the, right? Oh my God.
I had to bring that up.
But see, this for some of us, that's hard because even for me, and we had this conversation today, even for me in this living my life and enjoying where I'm at, where 90% of my lifestyle is what I've envisioned for myself, it's very hard to take my foot off the gas a little bit. I've always got things in my head that I want to get done. I always have new things popping into my head that I have to tell myself, put it on the list. You can get to it
there
when,
may have
when
been
it's time.
Three new ideas that cropped up today.
And when I, guys, you got to understand, when I have an idea, it's not like, oh, this would be cool. It's like, oh my God, this is huge. I want to do it now.
Pause everything else in life.
Everything else has to stop. I want to do this right away. And I know that's not feasible or realistic.
There's a level of reeling in that must happen.
That must happen. That's why you're here.
But this is a large part of my role.
To get back to that initial piece of the resolutions, my goals are 3 years out, 4 years out, 5 years out, 10 years out. My goals are things that I have that are short term. I want to see if I can do in the next 3 weeks. I have goals that I want to potentially, you know, with me, I like to do some things that are usually about 3 to 6 months in length and set goals and experiment and try things. For what I do as a coach with, you know, the content I put out online, I like to experiment with things. So some of my goals that are performance or nutrition or body composition, things like that, are usually 3 to 6 months in length. So that is an easy thing for me to say, hey, for the next 6 months, this is what I'm doing. On the business side, on the personal development side, it's an ongoing. There is no timeline. There are things that I know I need to get better at. There are things I know from a education and learning perspective that I want to do. There are things from a personal development perspective. I mean, we could get into. I'll just say that as I've gotten older, and as I've experienced more life, my focus on my personal development is probably at an all-time high compared to anything else. And it's cool to be able to say that you're part of that because you're so woo-woo.
I was just having some woo-woo thoughts over here, I'm sure.
And but it's a very interesting transition of awareness.
Boom. That's
I think
right
we
there.
Talk about awareness all the time. And I think the level of awareness in when you focus on improving yourself, here's a kicker. We talk about all the time, change yourself, change the world, change how you think and the world changes around you. And that is 110% true. For me, the past couple of years, that's what it's all been about. It's been about changing how I'm thinking about myself. And with my focus being on self-improvement, I have spent much less energy on trying to fix everything else and everyone else.
Wow, that's powerful.
And it's made a huge difference in the stress in my life and the overhead and my own personal life and also just the growth of my business and my health and everything else. So
probably stronger relationships too.
Oh, everything. Yeah. Absolutely.
Big time. When people can feel that when you're projecting this expectations or pressure onto them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not a healthy environment or relationship to be in with any of your loved ones. That now people probably feel a little less open, less trusting, feeling judged, right? When people feel judged, then they're less likely to make those changes.
And as a coach, it makes me a better coach
absolutely.
Too. You know? What about you? So you asked me about resolutions and I just kind of went on a little tangent about how I feel about that. What about you? Do you have resolutions?
Yeah. So interesting. I was thinking about this. There's a couple of different angles that I take this. Number one, I think that I am a woo-woo person and I do love the symbolism.
The symbology.
There's something about a date, if you think about really what New Year's is, right? It's a made up holiday. It's like all other holidays, right? There were people in history that determined that this was going to be the calendar, that this was going to be a special day on the calendar. So all of the days that are national holidays or whatever, our own birthdays, right? Everything is, it has the meaning that we assign to it, like anything else in life. But I do, there's something special to me about the symbolic nature of a date, or a special, I don't even know how I want to say this, like a mile, it's kind of like a milestone.
Benchmark.
Yeah, I don't know the right word. Maybe it'll come to me. But I love ritual. I love ceremony. I love like this symbolism of turning the page or like closing the chapter on that year and opening the next one, sure. Right? And we think about like in business, right? In business, you have calendar years, you have the dates that the books close, you have, you know, all of these kinds of things. So I like it from a planning perspective for things like business in particular, that you can look at the calendar year and say, okay, in the next 12 months, what am I going to accomplish? It's a great amount of time to have like a timeline for goals and things of that nature, right? You talked about having 3-year, 5-year, 10-year goals. I like the concept of chunking down goals too. So I start with my big picture vision of someday, right? And that could be a 10-year, but really more of like that ethereal someday. And then taking that down into 5-year, 3-year, and 1-year goals, and then taking the 1 year and breaking that up into semi-annual and quarterly objectives or things to look at.
So what you're talking about is a little bit different though than resolutions, I think. You're talking about the process of actually setting goals and breaking them down to realistic expectations that you can put a plan against and execute.
For the planning perspective of things, I like a 1-year time frame, and having things like the calendar year starting in January 1st and running through December 31st and having those 12 months chunked out. Like I like that from a planning perspective, practicality perspective. But then, so on the other side of the coin, when it comes to like New Year's, new year, new you, and this concept of, okay, now that it's the new year, I'm going to have these resolutions. The concept of that I don't love is this, what typically happens for people before New Year's. So we're talking typically November, December, right? The holidays are upon us. So right now, screw everything. Everything's going out the window. All my goals and plans and everything I had for the year, I'm not thinking about that anymore. Now's the time to just relax, chill out, go spend time with the family, let go of all of my achieving related goals. And that includes big time health and fitness for people. It's like, forget health and fitness. Now's the time to shove my face with everything. And there's no consequences. And then on January 1st, I'm starting fresh. I'm starting new. And the way I see this play out with my clients on a shorter term scale is Monday to Friday. And then forget it Friday night through Sunday, and then starting over on Monday every single week. Or I've been good for 4 weeks. It's the end of the month. I'll start over on the 1st of next month. And so there's always this constant stopping and starting. What that is letting yourself off the hook. Like tomorrow is not just another day.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I said before, is that is because the expectation is that you're only doing this until you reach your goal and then you're done. So,
or until there's a reason not to. And yeah. And essentially what that's doing is setting your mind up for the opportunity not to do the thing.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of coming from a place of, this isn't something I want to do, this is something I have to do. Right. And that's a whole different conversation. We can have another day. But yep. I think when it comes to New Year's resolutions, for example, it really needs to be something that if you're going to set a resolution, I don't think there's anything wrong with setting resolutions, of saying here's, of taking the resolution concept of this is my intention. I like the term intention, but it's the same kind of thing. It's as I turn the page and I close the chapter on this year, and here's the way I think about it. I like to reflect over the year prior and everything that's happened from last January 1st to now. And look at all the things I'm proud of. Look at all the things that I'm not proud of. Look at what brought me the most joy. Look at what detracted the most energy from me. And analyze it. And sit with it. And let that bubble up to the things that are heaviest on my heart that I want to change in the new year, that I want to either have more of, do more of, or change because I'm not proud of the way I've shown up, or things that I know I could be doing better that matter to me. So it's not about I have to do this thing to lose 20 pounds because it's what I should be doing because, or I need to eat this way in the new year because that's the way I should be eating based on whatever, whoever's saying that that's the healthiest way to eat or that's a better way to live or whatever. You're listening to other people outside of yourself. So as normal, I always say, know thyself. And it's about reflecting on where you are. It's kind of, to me, New Year's and any special day on the calendar. For me, my birthday is another one. And it's kind of convenient for me because my birthday is 6 weeks after the new year. So every year I kind of get a redo. If I have this, I have a New Year's resolution, let's say, or intentions for the new year. I naturally tend to also do that type of reflection that I do around New Year's, around my birthday. It's like I'm entering a new year of being on this earth. And how do I want to enter this next year of my life? And I have that built in, like, I intend to do these things in the new year. Have I been doing them? And then I quickly get to kind of assess and reset for my birthday. Well, wouldn't it be amazing if we did that every week of our lives?
Well, this is where we're talking about not living year to year and the habits. So, and this is, I think, what I'm taking from what you're saying, what we've talked about so far, is that whatever you're going through in the process of setting a resolution for the new year is something you should be doing on a regular basis anyways.
You could be doing this anytime.
It doesn't have to be at the new year. Why aren't you doing this every month? Why aren't you sitting down and saying, hey, next month, what am I going to do better than I did this month?
You know what one of the most powerful things that my clients share with me that makes a huge difference for them? The clients that are showing up and doing their check-ins with me every week.
We were going to talk about that. Yeah.
I send them a little reminder every week when it's time to do their check-in, and I have a questionnaire that goes to them.
I was going to talk about my questionnaire.
which is just a few questions about how things are going and where they need support and what they need to improve upon. And we do the biofeedback ratings as well. Which all of these things, really all it is a chance for you to sit down. I was just having this conversation with a client yesterday. It is really a check-in with yourself.
Yep.
And it's a reflection over how did this week go?
Right.
What am I proud of? What am I not proud of?
What worked well? What didn't work well? Like all of the different things. How am I feeling about this week?
Where do I have challenges? Where am I struggling? Where do I need support? You can do this for yourself, even if you don't have a coach.
So what you're talking about, and this is really a cool segue, which we didn't plan, but we both have that a very similar weekly feedback with our clients that we get. It's also something that I may have just added into the Ultimate Ketogenic Fitness Live Well Journal that is now available on Amazon. If you guys didn't know, a couple weeks ago, I published a journal that you can order. It's like $7.50. It's the cheapest I could make it. I think I make 25 cents per book. Woohoo! Because I tried to make it as cheap as I could with what their printing price is. Oh my God, it costs so much to print that book. But it's like $7.50 on Amazon. It's a full year. It's 52 weeks of journal, open pages that you can write. There's about 10 pages at the beginning of the journal where we talk about your why not, reframing, goal setting, all the different things. There's a non-scale victory tracker. There's a bunch of stuff in there. But every week in the journal, there is a page to start the week that has that kind of thing. What's the question? What's that questionnaire? How did you feel this week? How did you sleep this week? What happened good this week? What challenges did you have this week? Where you can put that stuff in. Are you making progress towards your goals? Like all of those things that you can keep a track in every week, you have an opportunity to review and kind of see how am I doing against the things I said I was going to do.
Okay, so here's the crux of it right here. And how beautiful. That's a great plug, guys. If you need something to hold you accountable in the new year, boom, there you go. Get that journal.
Get the journal.
So here's the thing is when we talk about journaling, right, you kind of probably picture like a monk sitting on a pillow or like, you know, this like Abercrombie and Fitch model, like with her, is that old school?
With her canvas journal sitting on a rock next to a stream somewhere.
Cross-legged with her Starbucks next to her and her leg warmers or fuzzy socks or whatever. But I think that's what people think of. They think of like this, woo-woo journaling, right?
Yeah.
But all of the most successful people, they do this regular evaluation of themselves, of how things are going, what they need to improve upon. They go back and reference their goals. I think the reason why everybody now these days talks about, you shouldn't make resolutions, or they say that resolutions are bad or, you know, all that. It's really just because what do? When people make New Year's resolutions, they say they resolve to do something and then it goes into the ether. They don't write it down anywhere. They don't make a plan.
There's no plan. There's no goal. There's no specific timeline or how it's going to be executed and accomplished. There's no evaluation of ready, willing, and able.
But all a resolution is something you're resolving to do, something that you intend to do. It's intentions. So like anything else, if it's just spoken one time, it's not going to do anything. There is homework that we give our clients early on for them to reflect upon their why and consider kind of the risk and reward, the pain and the purpose. And the clients who have the most success reflect on those things on a more regular basis. The clients who we don't hear from or struggle the most are not looking at that again. They may do that homework, file it away somewhere, and never look at it again. Well, it's just like brushing your teeth. You got to do it every day. You've got to be reminded of what you intended to do on a regular basis. Some of the most successful people, they write down those things every day. There's something that they're looking at every day that reminds them. And these kinds of planners and journals, if you want to call it a planner, if that makes you feel better about journaling, there are planners. I mean, you've got the high performance planner, Brendan Burchard, like some of the most successful people, Tony Robbins, they have journals that they all put out there. And everybody has their own kind of brand or way that they do it. But it's the concept of writing it down, making it clear. That's what makes you take action on these things. So it's not just stating it and waiting for the motivation to come or waiting to be inspired to do it and then doing it one day and not doing it again. It's the consistency of it that really makes the changes. So like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with resolutions, and I don't think that even in New Year's, you know, that date on the calendar, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think for one, don't put it off until that date.
Okay. So
once you've resolved, like, means I can now go crazy for the next 2 weeks.
Okay. New Year's resolution. I'm going to start trying to get more protein and that. Okay. That's not a New Year's resolution. Here's the deal, guys. A New Year's resolution is the first step to making a change. It is not the change. Just saying that you want to do something is step one. Then you have to follow it up with all of the same steps that you would normally do when you're trying to make a change. Why do you want to make the change? Are you able to make the change? Are you going to be able to set a goal that you can actually attain in order to make that change happen?
Well, and you have to write down the steps, right? You have to, first of all, you have to probably find out what the steps are.
Exactly.
A lot of the time when we want to make a change, it's something that's personal to us. I'll give you a great example. We've talked about this on a past episode. Time management is my Achilles heel.
I was wondering if you were going to talk about this since we just talked about it today.
I think we should share something, you know, each personally, something that we'll be working on in the note, or that's an intention for us over the next year, right?
I made myself perfect last year. I don't have anything to work on this year.
Just because you're perfect for me doesn't mean
I am hardly perfect for you.
You're a human being. this one was heavy on my heart this week because being here out of our normal circumstances and the holidays and having family and everything, I have been more wildly inefficient than ever, and efficiency is already not my strong suit. So this has been in my face, and I'm sure Bronson has been holding himself back from saying anything. I told him the other day how grateful I am for his patience.
In case you guys haven't picked up, I am hyper efficient in my time management and how she tells me all the time that what do you say as far as my speed of implementation?
Speed of implementation.
So
master.
If something has to get done, it's going to get done. I am.
There's no hesitation.
I think we've established there's some level of ADHD going on with me, but it's not the type that I get distracted
easily. He's
not easily.
Scatterbrained.
I'm hyper-focused. When something has to get done, I get super focused and into it.
And the minute he gets the thought in his head, he springs into action.
I have to do something about it. Otherwise, it will drive me crazy. So that's where the ADHD and the OCD come in. But that is very different than that. So there definitely is, I wouldn't even say tension sometimes, but there's definitely some consternation going on when it's like, okay, what's happening?
I will say my biggest shortcomings are procrastination and lack of efficiency.
Which is funny because mine is moving too fast.
That's so true. We balance each other very well when it comes to business, for example. Because I am the one that will be more deliberate in planning, in thoughts in advance of action. And for me, that has also been, that has held me back in business as well. So this partnership we really are perfect for each other in so many ways. But if there's one thing that I would like to improve, it is that and those two things really go hand in hand. And so a big part of this, being vulnerable here, for those of you who are struggling in your health and fitness journey and you're like, why am I not moving forward? And if you already knew all the things to do and you knew how to do the things and you were doing the things, it would not be a struggle, right? So there's an acknowledgement of where I am. There has to be an acknowledgement of where I am. And I was just reflecting on this earlier today as well. I wrote this down in my meditation. The first step is acknowledging culpability for where you are right now that you don't like.
Mm.
Fully taking 100% full ownership and responsibility for getting yourself to a place where you don't want to be. And it is not comfortable.
It sucks. Because we want to blame everything else. We cannot be responsible for where we are at.
We cannot take any steps forward until we do that first.
Yeah. I'm going to add to that. And that is the reason why, guys, if you're listening to this, the reason why you can't move forward without taking ownership is because you're the only one that can move you forward. But if you're not the owner of the problem, then you're waiting on someone else to move you forward, and that's never going to happen.
Boom. This is something we talked about recently about people who sign up for coaching because throwing money at a problem makes you feel like you're doing something.
Oh my God. We were going to talk. I forgot we were going to talk about this. Yeah. I mean, that's a really great example of people who haven't taken ownership. They think I'm going to hire a coach and that coach is going to help me make progress. But guys, we're coaches. We're there to show you what needs to be done. You still have to do it.
We can give you the path forward.
Right?
I can't take the steps for you.
I can't live your life for you as your coach. I can't show up to your calls that you're supposed to have with me. I can't fill out the forms. I can't track your data. I can't eat your food. I can't do your exercise. I can't sleep for you. Those are things you have to take ownership and do. The reason you are where you are is because you haven't been doing those things. Hiring us as a coach isn't going to change that.
Now, hiring a coach or buying a book or buying a plan, that can be a step in the right direction.
Sure.
So like when I was talking about the concept of, okay, if you had all that, you'd already be there, right? By taking responsibility and ownership, you're acknowledging, okay, I don't know everything, or I'm not already good at this. I'm where I am with this. As much as it sucks to acknowledge, to look at, to see, stepping on the scale for some people, recognizing, you know, the size clothing you're wearing, whatever that may be for you, right? For me, it was this week and looking and saying, wow, I really don't like the way that I'm managing things. I am not able to show up for anyone in my life the way I want to with this thing that I'm dealing with. Now, I'm not already good at it. So that means I need to learn how to be good at it. So the first step is gaining some knowledge, doing some research, going to the experts. The beauty is today, guys, we have YouTube, we have podcasts, we have courses, we have coaches, we have so many things at our fingertips that we can employ to gain that knowledge. So that will be my first step is, okay, how do people who are good at time management and very efficient, how do they do it? How are the ways that they set up their life? What do I need to do different? And I know this is another thing I say to my clients, you have to acknowledge that it's going to be difficult. Because it's new, it's different, you're asking yourself to do something you haven't done before. For some of you, working out is a huge hurdle. Just being consistent with workouts, it doesn't feel fun yet. It's not your escape yet. You're like, you're watching people who are fit talk about how that's their me time and that's their, and you don't feel that way. It feels like torture to you. You're just doing it because you know it's something that you're not good at that's important to you. We talked about that. It shouldn't be an arbitrary thing you're doing because somebody else said you should do it. It needs to be important to you. And so that goes back to the why, right? I know that I will show up better in my business. I'll show up better as a partner. I'll show up better as a friend if I manage my schedule better. That's why it's important to me. I can see all my relationships improving. I can see my income improving. I can see the outcomes that I can help people create in their lives improving by doing that. So you've got to connect those things. And then you've got to say, okay, what are the first steps? And you got to start putting a plan together.
Yeah. And we can, I don't know if we want to get into it on this session, but talking about how to do it, how to make a plan, talk about goal setting.
Let's do it.
That kind of stuff.
I mean, this is
I don't know if we have enough time. We still got to talk about let's put a bookmark in that and come back to that in another episode, because we still got to talk about what we're doing this year and kind of share some of the things that are happening in 2023.
Oh, on the business side.
On the business side and for ourselves, like what are we working on? Things like that individually. Okay. So before we do that, I guess I should do what am I going to work on?
What's your intention?
What's my intention for myself? Outside of goals and like fitness goals and
personal.
Business goals and stuff, personal stuff. It's knowledge. I have knowledge intentions for 2023. We talked about this recently. I'm only a handful of credits away from getting my degree.
So that's
something that I would very much like to finish next year. It's had to go on hold. I should have had it done this year, but with everything going on, I had to put it on hold. So that's one thing. I will get my degree next year. That is the plan.
Boom.
Outside of that, I have some specialized knowledge that I'd like to get into. I mean, I guess I can talk about it on here, right? Let everybody know. Who knows? Why not? Put it out in the universe, right? You're a fan of that. If anybody's listened to the things that I talk about and how I relate fitness and nutrition and how both of those impact quality of life, then you've heard me talk about how nutrition is a way to manage internal stress and fitness helps us manage external stress. And that relationship is what determines your quality of life. You can have one or the other and be better than not, but you need both to really live your best life. That concept, I think I would like to understand stress better.
Oh, yes. Now I know where you're going with this.
Right? So really digging into the science behind stress, the biology behind stress, and then all of the different factors, because it's such a nuanced conversation. I think a lot of people don't understand. Just like, this is one of the reasons I love fitness so much. I'm trying not to go into a rabbit hole of discussion about breaking all this stuff down. But, you know, when we talk about quality of life and we talk about physiology and the human body, we're talking about neurological, biological, and physiological things. So the thing that is fascinating about stress is that stressing one of those can impact the other two. If I stress my neurology, it will affect my biology and it will affect my physiology. If I stress my physiology, it will affect my biology and my neurology. And there's an impact and a level of effect and quality of life that nutrition and fitness play into that is just fascinating to me. And understanding that, I think I came up with a statement in my journaling and my quiet times with myself that life is stress management.
You did literally mention that recently.
Everything that we do. Think about this. You can't change anything in your life without stress. Stress management is literally, living your life is literally preparing for a change, making a change, or recovering from a change. All of that is about stress management. So just that. If you're listening, I can feel my excitement coming in as we talk about this, and the way she's looking at me right now, she's like, "Oh my God, he's fired up."
I'm like, "Is this going to become an episode all about stress?"
So that is one of my goals for 2023 is to learn more about stress management and stress and how it's impacted and all the different layers of interaction and integration with our body and our food and our environment and how it impacts all that stuff. So. That's my self-development and knowledge growth that I plan for next year. So those two things.
Geeking out. What a surprise.
Geeking out on something. Yeah. Outside of that, let's talk about, okay, fitness stuff real quick. Let's run down some fitness goals. What are your fitness goals right now? Because I know you don't have a whole year, right? You're planning more, what, 6 months? How are you doing your fitness goals?
Right now, I don't have any timelines on anything.
Okay.
So, where I'm at, my goal right now, growth. Period.
Your booty growth. Booty, 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 booty.
So, I'm in an interesting place.
I'm all about that bass, not that treble.
I'm in an interesting place with my fitness, specifically fitness journey.
Yeah.
My main goal, long-term goal for a long time now, I've been competitively bodybuilding for, oh my gosh, we're going into 2023.
Seven years? 2016? 7 years?
7 years and training for then eight now, mm-hmm. because I started in 2015.
Right.
So, all that, I'll say probably after my first show, maybe second show. when I caught the bug was, I want to be a world champion. I do not ever want to stop until I'm a world champion. It doesn't matter how long it takes me. But that's the ultimate goal. So every, I'll just say year, but like, let's say every season, right? My goal has always been, as most bodybuilders, putting on more muscle mass, getting leaner for the next show. So improving what I'm bringing to the stage. As I have progressed.
And she brought it, y'all. she done brought the whole thing.
This last show was definitely a whole different level of everything for me.
Boom shakalaka.
The energy, the performance, the physique, all of it. But one thing that has changed for me over the years, when I first started doing this, it was really just to get lean, like most women want to start. Sign up for that first bikini show because you want to drop body fat. So, but that has progressed over the years that I've embraced my natural ability and my genetics to build muscle and create the proportions that I have. And so every, you know, year or so, as I'm reflecting over the last competition season, thinking about the next competition season, my goal has always been to move up a division, you know, to get to the higher, more muscular level divisions. I want to take this as far as I can take it naturally. I'm a natural athlete. I will never take any substance, any PEDs.
Besides steak.
Unless I get to the point where I need hormone replacement therapy, I would not turn that down if I need that as a medical intervention. But I would not be going and seeking out steroids or performance enhancing drugs or anything like that. But so for me, it's always been about how much muscle I can build, how far I can take this as a natural athlete, pushing my body to the limits, basically. So in a healthy way. So the chapter that I've closed, that I'm closing as we close out this year, and the new chapter that I'm opening in 2023 for me is, this is now life, as we were talking on the last episode. Maintenance as a pro athlete that's seeking to become a champion, there is no more large swings of bulking and cutting taking place in my athletic career. My intentions for the new year, as my fitness goals, is lean gains. Purely in two words, lean gains. I want to maintain a level of leanness that is not unrealistic, but is healthy, but is athletically lean, to where I am never more than 4 to 6 weeks out to a show. So I'm not putting on unnecessarily excessive amounts of body fat and then having to take a very long time to slowly cut that down in a healthy way to get on stage again. So my goal for the new year is to build, move into competing as a fitness pro. That would be a step up from where I was in wellness.
She's already, she's too jacked for wellness.
We saw she's at this last show that I was very defined. If you look at the lineup, they wanted a soft. It's very clear. I haven't gotten the feedback yet.
You would not be happy. Like, you could compete in wellness. Like you probably would have placed higher if you were
a little softer, fuller, and softer.
But you wouldn't have been so disappointed.
But I would not have been happy there.
If you look, yeah.
So Bronson knows since we met. This journey for me is about building the body of my dreams.
Yep.
Not the judges' dreams. So where I land is where I want to be. And his. Luckily, those things are very aligned. So, yeah, I have said that if the feedback is that I should stay in wellness, but I have to get softer, then I will not stay in wellness.
I'm going
to
make a quick segue.
Go for it.
For any guy listening to this, for any woman listening to this, guys, encourage your women to build muscle. It's good for them and it's sexy as hell.
I have always wanted a man who could really appreciate and celebrate my muscle. And the moments where this man's breath is taken away and I don't even try, I'm just doing things in life, and he'll just stop dead in his tracks and say, "My God, woman, your quads or your hands."
Your hamstrings bit me. Your hamstrings hit me every time.
So there's nothing more affirming than that, ladies. There's nothing more affirming.
So you don't have any specific goals.
It's just grow, just grow right now.
Grow, and we don't have maintain and grow.
We just got the new calendar of shows for 2023. It was just announced. And I haven't spoken with Coach yet. But last I spoke with Coach, he said, "Let's see what happens with the shows. Right now,
just
no timeline. Let's just grow."
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And for me, I have a couple things that are on my list of maybe I'll do, maybe I'm not sure. We know I've got the Costa Rica thing in a couple of weeks. I've been trying to cut. That got kind of thrown off by being sick for a little over a week. And then
traveling. If y'all didn't know, Bronson will be on Reversed. Yes. Is this season three?
Three,
four?
Season three. Carnivore season.
Woo! So he's leaving me.
We're leave the first week in January. We'll be filming in Costa Rica. It's going to be a blast. I mean, it's going to be kind of cool. Just stay in a house for 3 days with... I can't even think of all the names. Dr. Chafee, Dr. Baker, Dr. Barry, Maria Emmerich, Dr. Ovedia, Dr. Kiltz, Dr. Hampton.
It's basically going to be
Vega.
All the doctors, you and Maria.
Yeah. Well, Kelly Hogan.
Okay.
Bella, Steak and Butter Gal. Wow,
all
right. There's like so many people.
So many people.
That'll be there. It's
going to
be
So he was ridiculous. Going to cut so he could go there looking shredded.
Right. And I mean, and not that I'm not fairly lean already. I just wanted to try to get a little bit more. I'm going to be on camera. I want to look good on camera.
Already quite easy on the eyes.
So we'll see how that goes. I got a week and a half. We'll see how it goes.
Wow, that's coming up so quickly.
I know, right? So that was my short term, one little short term thing. Outside of that, I have it in my head that I kind of want to try going 90 days without tracking anything.
Okay.
I'm afraid I'm going to get fat, though, if I do that. So I'm not sure. So here's the thing, guys. I have been tempted multiple times to do the whole fit to fat to fit thing. But I know the process of getting back in shape after that. And I do not
want to do that. I am side-eyeing this man right now. Like, what? Are you crazy? No.
So, but I'm afraid that same kind of thing, if I don't track again, because I know what happens. It happens with clients. I hear it all the time. I'm not tracking. I gained 5 pounds. Like, I got all this fat, whatever.
Yeah, but
I just
don't live that way.
I know I don't, but I don't know. We'll see. That's one of the things I've been tossing around doing. We've talked about just going 100% carnivore, cutting out coffee, cutting out.
You just reminded me.
You were going to do
Lion Diet. I forgot that that was the major intention.
Right. We were talking about doing that. So that's probably, if you're going to do it, then I'll probably do it.
Okay. So y'all, here's the deal.
Because I've never done it. Can you believe this? I've been carnivore for almost 5 years. I've never actually done Lion Diet.
Wow. Okay. So you've never done it at all either. Okay. So I think we should do it.
Do we got to cut out eggs though?
Yep.
That makes me sad.
Meat, salt, and water. That's it.
That makes me sad.
Here's why I want to do it, though. It's the same kind of concept of people doing things like 75 hard,
yep.
Whole 30, any of these short-term kind of really difficult things to do that are very different than what you're doing now. This is, oh my goodness, this is literally how I started my journey. It was a Lenten sacrifice, and it was the concept of sacrifice that made it happen, really, because committing to something beyond what it's going to do for your body, for example.
Right. Try to do it as part of something bigger.
Part of something bigger, and the whole concept of, like, the whole reason I would be doing the Lion Diet, and I thought about doing like a 40 days till my 40th birthday, which would be right after I'd start that second week of January. I believe, if I calculated that correctly. Leading up to my 40th of Lion Diet, so that I could feel in optimal health, try to get all of the markers. The one thing now I'm working on with my naturopath is bringing my testosterone back up, because that just all of a sudden is low. Yeah. Could just be from being at the end of prep. We don't know yet, but.
And we've spent a lot of time indoors the past few months. We haven't gotten any sunlight.
Oh, that's true. During the summer,
we were going for walks and stuff. We haven't gotten any sunlight lately. Absolutely. And our sleep has been terrible too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things at play there. But the concept, the Lion Diet for me is, I know it would be hard. I know it would be, it would require a different level of mental toughness. And kind of my mantra, or the way that I go through life, is if I'm too attached to something, it needs to go.
Say that again.
If I am too attached to something, it needs to go.
Think about that, guys. Seriously, think about that. We're not talking about loved ones. Okay.
Right.
But if there's something in your life that you defend, ask yourself why you're defending that. Is it something that you need for some reason to stay alive? Is it something that you just are so used to having that you can't envision your life without it, but it's really not doing you any good?
Exactly. That's really the key. The thing,
right? So is it really doing you any good?
Just last week at the masterclass, I do Monday masterclasses every week for free in my group. Last week's masterclass was on bridge foods, what I call bridge foods. And I describe the difference between a bridge food versus a crutch versus a cheat versus a trigger food, and how all four of those are very different. But those crutches, this is, and I talked about how certain foods could be in a different category for the same person at a different time. Mm. There are times when protein powder is a bridge food for me. There are times where it's a crutch. There are times where if I were to consume it, it would be a cheat, because I intended during that time period to not have it. And then there are other times where it is a trigger and it just leads me into wanting all the sweet things. So looking at things like particularly those crutches, where am I leaning on a crutch, but my foot is no longer broken? And now I need to walk on my own two feet and stop leaning on that crutch.
Boom. Boom. I think the most common one, and just a quick segue where this is, but when you're talking about that, for me, I see this the most, I think. Maybe not the most. It's pretty high up there on the list outside of keto treats and whatever else. But I think it's diet soda.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge one for people. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people where we're trying to make changes, trying to identify things that they can adjust or change or remove from their diet. And the visceral resistance to stopping drinking diet soda is strong in a lot of people.
Yes.
It's strong in a lot of people. And it, for those people that decide to do it, it's like almost immediate, like revelation of, holy crap, I can't believe that one thing is making this much difference.
And I will say the same thing for any product with sucralose. Mm. I've noticed that with clients, especially with their coffee, mm-hmm. and they have like a coffee creamer or a syrup or something they've been using. With the sucralose, and they just do not want to let that go. And as soon as they do,
that's probably the same. I think, yeah, you're right. It's diet drinks or coffee creamers, and those are probably the top two things that people
because
just
otherwise,
fight for.
Oh, zero calorie, right?
That's the argument all the time. Well, it's not no calories. Yeah. Don't get me on that. If it has no calories, it has no value.
Well, and this is why way before I ever did keto or carnivore, Whole30 was revolutionary for me.
Right.
Because it was more about the concepts of eating rather than this, the things in particular you're giving up. And I remember this one part of that book where they talked about, you know, if you're soaking dates and squeezing this and that to put it in your coffee to create this thing, there's something you need to look at there. Then it's out. So they do have all the food lists and all of that, but it's more about what's behind the food list. So they're teaching you about putting together a real food plate. And when you eat, you're sitting down to have a meal. You're not snacking. You're not grabbing snacks. You're not recreating standard American diet treats or desserts.
Eating for nutrition, not eating for taste.
Well, and
you can absolutely enjoy the
foods for the way they taste. But to me, Whole30 changed the game for me because I was no longer leaning on those crutches, protein pancakes or paleo pancakes or, you know, whatever sweet thing I could create with real foods.
Which she could do a lot, y'all.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to for Christmas. She can do some things. But instead of leaning on that stuff, now when that's taken away, what are you left with?
Yeah.
And this kind of harkens back to what you were talking about earlier. And it's the, you called it stress, the way you're managing stress. It's what our friend Dr. Sivas likes to say, emotional management systems.
Yep.
Food for people has been the emotional management system. When you take that away,
what do you have?
What do you have left? You have to learn to manage your emotions in a different way. So if we do this lion diet, we're going to do it. It's happening. This is definitely happening. Want this challenge.
I'm going to put you out.
Oh, snap.
I'm going to put this out there.
Okay.
We just talked about not waiting till the first. When are we going to start?
I said I wanted to do 40 days till my 40th.
40 days to your 40th? What day is what? It's 40 days.
That is, okay, February 15th. So 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks would be 28 days. 5 weeks would be 35.
Mm-hmm.
36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Friday, January 6th.
Oh, that's the day I get back. That's the day I get back from Costa Rica. Well, yeah, I get back that evening.
So we could start on the 6th when you get back.
Okay. I mean, I'll probably be doing it while I'm in Costa Rica because I'm going to be in a house full of carnivores.
This is true.
You know what? I wonder how much meat they're buying to put in that house.
Ooh. I'm so jealous.
There's
going to
be so many pictures. And it's going to be all ribeyes too, probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anywho. Okay. So the 6th.
Friday the 6th.
40 days.
40 days.
Okay. Are we going to document all 40 days?
We're going to
do a countdown? Okay.
We should do a video. I'm documenting it on my YouTube. So
we should do one together every day.
You can join with me and we can do it together.
Okay. I'll pop in.
Okay, guys. Rawr. You heard it here first.
Lion diet. Rawr.
We're doing lion diet. 40 days.
January 6th. Okay. Before we finish up, real quick, what is one thing that's happening for your business in 2023?
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot.
Just pick one that you want to tell people about.
I will have a published book.
Are you really putting that out there?
I am doing it. I'm ripping the Band-Aid off.
Okay. What is your book going to be?
I have a few ideas. Okay. Oh, why don't I share them here and people can tell me what they think. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Which book do you want Coach Nat to write?
Okay. So the Keto Bikini Comprehensive Competition Guide.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm really calling it yet.
Right. But that's like, what is competition all about? How to get ready? And that will that go into like everything like, it's show day. What do I do?
Everything from all the behind the scenes show stuff.
Okay.
Show checklists.
Oh my God. That would be so cool.
Budgeting, all of it.
You're going to like posing stuff in there too?
Posing, training, what the judges are looking for, all the different.
How to pick your bikini.
All the divisions explained. Yeah. How to pick your bikini shoes.
Is it going to be just WBFF or is it going to cover multiple federations?
It will cover all the stuff.
All the stuff. Okay.
Yeah. For bikini, figure, physique.
I'm helping her put her outline together right now.
All of it.
In case she hadn't
figured that out. I actually already have an outline. Ha ha. You didn't even know. I've been thinking about doing this for a long time.
Nice. Okay. Cool.
Okay. So that's one of them. The other one, it probably won't be this one unless I just, a million people are banging down my door to do it. My memoir, mm-hmm. which is Breakups Make Bodybuilders, mm-hmm. How I Went from Sick, Sad, and Stressed Out to Bikini Pro.
I think that is going to be, I think that's probably more impactful and powerful than either the than either the first one or the other one you're going to mention after this.
Okay, well, there you go. Number one is the competition prep book. Number two would be your story.
Yep.
Number three is one of many, my first keto bikini cookbook.
Yep.
The Keto Bikini Kitchen, volume there one. It is.
KBBK. KBBK one.
Volume one.
All of the recipes that she's been gathering up for years and making at the house for me that
you all haven't had a chance to experience. But we'll pick one to start with.
Yep.
One of those will be all my protein recipes, right. All of my protein powder recipes. One of them, of course, will be, you know, just all different meals, breakfast, yep. lunch, dinner, snacks, all that kind of stuff. And then I'll probably have a specific one eventually come out just for holiday special events.
Okay. You could do one too. That's parties. All. That's like just a comp cookbook, like a comp prep book cookbook.
That could be a addendum to the competition, yeah. prep guide.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to write a book in 2023.
Fully self-published. So
I'll just say you've probably already mostly got the books written.
I've got.
You just got to compile everything and put it all together into a book form, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's the easy. That's. So much better when you already have all the content, or at least most of the content, then you have to come up with all of it. It would
need some work for sure.
Sure. But you're starting with something. That's good. Yes. Okay. Cool.
What about you?
For me, besides the TV thing, which is going to be huge, this 2023 for me is the year of collaboration. So I have a lot of other things that I plan on doing, like you. Like I could probably list off five different things I'm working on. For me, this year is really about collaboration. I have some people that I've connected with over the last year that I'm really trying to establish and build some relationships so that we can share the exposure that we have and try to help as many people as possible. So there's some things, you know, I've built a relationship with Dr. Sivas. I'm making some relationships with some other doctors who have books and different things out there, as well as other influencers who have programs that I can offer my expertise in the fitness space to help, again, bring that fitness and nutrition together to offer some products and services and just information to help people get started. My goal for 2023 is to collaborate with as many people as possible to make fitness as accessible as possible to as many people as possible.
Sounds very you.
That's pretty much
very aligned.
Yeah. So collaboration is my goal. Outside of that, I am going to say you have something you're going to be announcing in a couple days.
Yes, I do.
I have something I've already announced. So by the time you get this, by the time this publishes, it will probably be on day five or six left before my early bird opens. KetoLifeMastery.com. Early bird access with $1,000 discount to the program ends December 31st. So if you're interested, go to KetoLifeMastery.com. It's a 6-month individual personalized coaching program with me. You get to work with me one-on-one, looking at your stuff and helping you reach your goals.
Premium
coaching that I only am going to offer 2 times a year. So you won't be able to do this again until July. So don't miss out.
Boom.
Okay. And you have something you're going to announce right now.
The Keto Bikini Body Challenge. It is actually the Grace and Grind New Year's Challenge. Ooh,
Grace and Grind.
So for my ladies who struggle with finding that balance between when do I give myself grace and when do I need to kick my own ass and grind? And sometimes you do those things in the wrong order and you're applying them to the wrong things. I binged yesterday. I need to give myself grace. Or I've been lazy and not going to the gym. I need to give myself grace. Well, okay, maybe not applying that in the right context. So this is going to be my New Year's challenge. It is 6 weeks long. You will get workouts. You will get a community. This is something we're going to do as a group. nutrition guidance, and a whole lot of mindset stuff.
As we do.
I will be announcing all of the details inside my group. So if you're not in there yet, Keto Bikini Secrets for Badass Boss Babes on Facebook. That is where all the deets will drop. I will probably also be promoting it on my Instagram. So Instagram, Facebook, and likely on YouTube as well. So look out for that. All the details are dropping right after Christmas, Monday after Christmas, and then we'll go from there.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Hopefully this has been a helpful episode full of information that you can use for yourselves. If you have any topics or things you want to hear us talk about, please let us know. You know how to get us. Our information's on the website, but I am at coach_Bronson_keto on Instagram.
At the Keto Bikini Pro on Instagram.
And outside of that, hope you guys have a great day, great holidays. If you're listening to this before the holidays, or after, hope you had a great holiday.
Happy New Year.
And we will talk to you guys
soon. Cheers to crushing your goals in 2023.
Awesome. And don't forget to
eat, lift, sleep, repeat.